Hello, and welcome to Catholic Parents Online, a program where we explore the issues Catholic parents face while raising their children. I'm your host, Colleen Perfect. Valuing Values, Benzinger Family Life, Catholic Values and Sexuality, New Creations, Growing in Love. The names sound innocent, but the curriculum, insidious. The schools are talking about the birds and the bees, and parents are not getting invited. I found out in time to have my youngest child excused from the Benzinger Family Life program at his Catholic grade school, and he was relieved not to have to sit through what he described as several totally embarrassing class periods. As we examine several sex education curriculums today, I'm delighted to welcome back Barb Anderson from the Minnesota Family Institute. Welcome back, Barb.
Thank you, Colleen.
Good to see you again. Barb, I know you've critiqued several different sex education programs through the years, but today I'd really appreciate it if you could talk about two different sex education programs that are currently being used in some of the Catholic schools. The first one I'd ask that you talk about is called Valuing Values. Mm-hmm. I believe there's a newer name to it now, and it's called Catholic Values and Sexuality, and that's being used in many Catholic high schools.
Well, Colleen, parents should be greatly concerned about the curriculum Valuing Values. What this curriculum does is offer to children a smorgasbord of sexual choices. It's giving a whole array of sexual behaviors, an array of values, but not giving the children any guidance or direction, not telling them what is right and what is wrong. It is also very much a part of the Kinsey philosophy I see embedded in this curriculum as well. How we see the Kinsey philosophy manifested in this curriculum is the fact that all lifestyles are presented as equivalent. You see homosexuality compared as equal to heterosexuality. The curriculum tells the students that homosexuality is normal and natural. It also uses the false Kinsey statistic of 10% of the population is homosexual, which we know now is 1 to 2%. We see that for pregnant teenagers, they are really given several options. They are given the option of marriage and parenting, or being single and being a parent, or adoption, and then finally they do give the option of abortion to these young teenagers. And the curriculum, the way it plays out, really convinces teenagers that perhaps abortion is the best option for a young teen, especially when they see a very graphic live birth video. And the video is presented from the doctor's end of the table, so it's very traumatizing, and you see a woman going through very hard labor. And I can remember one teenager that saw this video, and he said that if he ever got a girl pregnant, he would not have her go through that. In other words, abortion suddenly seemed like painful option to choose. But of course, these children never see what a live abortion is like, because that would be too traumatizing for them to see that. We do find that abstinence is presented in the curriculum, but it is presented as a form of birth control. It is not taught as a lifestyle choice, not taught as abstinence from sexual activity until marriage. And in fact, the marriage piece is very weak in the curriculum. We also find that masturbation is encouraged. Children are told that everybody is doing it, and many people are doing this, and that it can't harm them in any way. And we know that this is not true, because masturbation can become a very addictive sexual behavior. And several years ago, there was a young boy in Lakeville who actually died as a result of autoerotic asphyxia, the practice of masturbating and cutting off his oxygen supply. Mm-hmm. And the interesting part about the article that was written about this young 14-year-old boy was that he had just completed, 2 weeks prior to this, the course Valuing Values. Mm-hmm. And so you wonder what kind of an influence this curriculum had on that young boy. When you're talking to young teenagers and you want them to be sexually abstinent, you don't put in front of them very graphic and sexually stimulating materials like Valuing Values does. They're materials that teach about the male and female reproductive system are very explicit, very graphic, in full color. And the female is shown in a very degrading pose. And to put boys and girls together in a classroom like this and see these kinds of materials is desensitizing to them, and really is an encouragement to experiment with sex. One concern that I do have about this curriculum as well, the final bottom line of all of this, is that it doesn't work. This curriculum was tested through the Institute for Research and Evaluation by Dr. Stan Weed, along with a couple of other abstinence curriculum materials. And whereas the other two were found to be able to change behavior, valuing values had no effect. Mm-hmm. So you have a curriculum that does not change behavior or help teenagers to be abstinent. And on the other hand, it actually does encourage sexual activity because of the materials being so sexually stimulating. To me, yes?
Barbara, I was just going to mention, that's in the high school, and it sounds like a very dangerous program, mm-hmm. but I wanted you to talk for a few couple minutes on a new program that's being introduced into our Catholic grade schools called Growing in Love. And I understand you did a little bit of critiquing on that recently, and I'd
yes.
like to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Alfred Kinsey would be very pleased with the Growing in Love curriculum. Mm-hmm. And a lot of red flags went up when I started critiquing this curriculum materials. And parents should be alarmed when they see the information that is in there. Because this even goes farther than values and choices does. Because not only are alternative lifestyles presented as equivalent, but it also presents as equivalent all of the sexual behaviors themselves mm-hmm. and gives very explicit definitions of three forms of intercourse as though it's multiple choice. And these are definitions that are given to adults, whether it's the teacher or the parent, to give into to the child in the classroom or at home. And these definitions are definitions that most parents would not approve of. They are very, I would say, pornographic in the way these behaviors are described. It's alarming as well to see that the three forms of intercourse, two are not described as sodomy, and the curriculum actually condones sodomy within marriage. We find in this curriculum that sexual orientation is described as though it is inborn, and that, again, the Kinsey philosophy of all sexual orientations being equivalent. With the very explicit materials, what we are going to see in the classroom is an erosion of the innocence of young children as these are defined to them. We had a young boy that went through a similar classroom situation and had these behaviors explicitly defined to him. He went home, this was a fourth grade student, he went home and he threw up and he was just upset all night long and for weeks and months, and parents said even a year or two afterwards, disturbed by how graphic this information was that was given to this young mind. I was surprised to see that this is described as a Christian curriculum, a curriculum to be used in Catholic schools, and yet it seems to avoid using scripture verses that would talk about the dangers and how you should not commit adultery or fornication, prostitution, promiscuity. All of these scripture verses are avoided, and there's an avoidance of teaching of homosexuality as a perversion, and instead of promoting it as a natural and normal lifestyle. To me, the verse from Matthew is what came to mind that talks about a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I really feel that this is what sums up the curriculum. It tries to appear as though it's giving Catholic and scriptural teachings, but in fact it is undermining the very things that parents want taught to their children. What we need to look at when you look at curriculum materials like this is the fact that parents need to be aware of what is being taught, because these kinds of things and ideas that are put into the minds of children cannot be erased. Mm-hmm. These are images that they will take home with them, that they will think about. It can affect their ability to learn in the classroom because they hear a definition during 1 hour or look at these graphic materials, and then they go to their next class, and it makes it very difficult to concentrate on math while they're turning around in their minds these thoughts and these concepts that they are not even old enough to be able to handle. Mm-hmm. So I am very concerned, and I feel that parents should remove their children from these curriculum materials, and the curriculum should be removed as well.
Yes, I think you're right, Barb. We had in our last Catholic Parents on newsletter, we had it as an exposé of this Growing in Love and some of the text material from that, and it's very graphic. I was even afraid to send it out. I had to get permission from our spiritual director to do that, but he said it's going to kindergartners. I mean, this is K-8, and we have to expose this program. Mm-hmm. So hopefully parents will be outraged and get to their schools and get rid of this program before it gets into too many hands.
Yes, there needs to be a definite public outcry against this kind of curriculum material.
Well, thank you so much for helping us critique these programs and being here today to tell us more about them.
Thank you. It was good to be with you.
Welcome back. We've been talking about sex education curriculums today, and joining me now are two Catholic parents, Louis Ruby and Jean Steppen, who have had firsthand experiences with these curriculums. Louis and Jean, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Colleen.
Good to be here.
Louis, I understand that you've had some serious concerns about the sexuality program in your child's Catholic high school, and that is Valuing Values, and I believe now it's called Catholic Values and Sexuality.
Correct.
Could you tell us a little bit about some of the specific concerns you have?
Sure. I've got many concerns with Catholic Values and Sexuality. So many that I don't think I'll be able to cover it in this brief amount of time, but what I'll try to do is just summarize a couple of areas that I found particularly problematic. One problematic theme that spanned across the program is the theme of moral relativism. And I'll just give you three really concrete examples of areas where I found this to be true. The first is in the area of engaging in sexual activity. The book goes into a discussion on just engaging the time to engage in sexual activity. And it states that choosing to engage in sexual activity requires an adult level of responsibility and awareness. And so you can well imagine that the young person has the task of deciding for themselves what that right time is and at what point they are at adult level of responsibility and awareness. And there's no attempt to sort of define for the young person the rightness or the wrongness of different things. Within that, there's no mention anywhere in the program of the proper and exclusive place of sexuality within marriage. Nor is the immoral nature or character of sexual activity outside of marriage ever discussed. So you can well imagine putting totally different things on a different plane really confuses the young people. There's another area particularly related to the area of pregnancy prevention. And it starts off with a discussion on abstinence, a brief discussion, and it's followed by a rather extensive discussion on artificial birth control. And different techniques for artificial birth control are discussed in detail, how they work, their effectiveness, the effectiveness of each of the techniques, also the advantages and disadvantages. And again, contraception and artificial birth control are kind of placed hand in hand, side by side with abstinence. And again, the young person is left without any solid grounding or teaching on what is right and what is wrong. And a third area, which is very similar, is the area of homosexuality and the way that's treated. Again, it's treated very much like the issue of pregnancy prevention, where homosexuality and heterosexuality are put sort of on the same foot. And homosexuality is presented as simply an alternative lifestyle, an alternative sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. And again, none of the Catholic teaching in regards to even the tendencies towards homosexuality being disordered are mentioned at all. Mm-hmm. There's many other concerns that I have, but I think that one is mm-hmm. primary throughout the program. Yeah.
Doesn't sound like Catholic school material.
No, it really
like
it isn't.
Should be in a Catholic school. Thank you, Louis. Jean, I know we've talked a little bit about our own experiences with our children, and you sound like you've had some of the same experiences where we assumed our kids were getting solid Catholic teaching when in fact they weren't. Could you tell us a little bit about what happened in your family with your children?
Well, when my oldest son started high school, he was enrolled in the basic beginning religion class for that high school, which is supposed to be teaching Catholic doctrine for one semester. And about a month into the course, they had a meet the teacher's night where I was introduced to his teacher and the curriculum. And that is when I found out that for this one semester class, 12 weeks were going to be spent on sex education. Mm-hmm. And I was outraged by that. Never mind what the content of the sex education curriculum mm-hmm. was, I was outraged that 12 weeks of a one semester class that where they were supposed to be getting Catholic doctrine would be devoted to sex education. And it was about the time that the Catholic Catechism had just come out. So I asked the teacher if, in fact, he was using that as a guide to teaching Catholic doctrine on sexual issues. And his response was that, well, there was a catechism in the classroom. And from his tone, I could tell it never left the shelf. So it was already too late to pull him out. About that time, I found out from other parents that some of them were having their child opt out of the sex education portion of the class and write a term paper instead. And that, of course, you face the dilemma of being stigmatized by that, and it's more work for the child. They don't really want to do that. My resolution of the problem was to get a copy of the text that they were using and to basically unteach it at home with my son. Mm-hmm. What I would do is whatever lesson they had in the classroom, I would discuss with him at home, and I would talk about my objections to it or add what I thought was missing from it. And what I found was very much in line with what Lewis just was describing in the curriculum, very much moral relativism. Mm-hmm. If the Catholic position was taught at all, it was almost added as a tagline that this is what the Catholic Church teaches, but that's just sort of the last choice.
Little did you know your tuition dollars were going to be going
that's
that
right.
way and having to reteach them at home.
Yes, it is something of an outrage. The only salvation was that at one point my son said to me, he says, "Well, Mom, don't worry, I don't listen to what they say at school. I'm listening to what you say." So there is hope for parents. I think parents should be encouraged to know that their children will listen to what they say, and that's what they really take to heart if you are involved in and engaging them in discussion about these issues.
That's right. Thank you very much, Jean and Lewis, for joining us and talking about your own firsthand experiences. With all the problematic sex education programs, parents can easily get discouraged. But is there any good way to talk to your kids about human sexuality? Don't lose hope. We'll be right back with some solutions in a moment.
To purchase a copy of today's show, please send your address and a check for $6 made out to Catholic Parents Online. For additional resources on discussing human sexuality with your children, visit us online at www.catholicparents.org or call us at 952-882-6704.
Discussed what's wrong with much of the sex education in our Catholic schools, but I want you to know there is hope. I'd like to welcome back Fred Blanigan, who teaches religion at St. Agnes High School, and Joan Evans from the Archdiocese to discuss solutions to the sex education problem many parents are facing today. Joan and Fred, thank you for joining
us.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Fred, in our last show, you talked about how St. Agnes does not teach sex education, but how you emphasize the moral formation and teaching about the virtues. Could you tell us a little bit more about why the virtues is so important?
Sure. I think there should be a minimum of emphasis in a religion class, for example, on any kind of explicit or graphic information about sexuality, but I think there should be a maximum of influence on emphasis on formation and virtue, particularly the virtues of modesty, which protects chastity, the virtue of purity. And I think you can do this in a variety of ways. For example, when you're talking about the Ten Commandments, which we do with sophomores, for example. You're talking about the Sixth Commandment or the Ninth Commandment. Questions will come up, of course. Sins will come up. You deal with those. But I think you also talk about the virtues that are the opposite of those vices. You talk about, for example, how you cultivate particular virtues, how you cultivate the virtue of modesty, for example. There are things you can't watch on television. There are movies you can't go to. There's music you can't listen to if you're going to be modest. If you're going to be pure, you have to learn how to say no to those things. And you have to learn how to cultivate those virtues as well. I think you can do this as well through models for our young people. We need to remind our students, particularly in Catholic schools, that we have wonderful saints, for example, who practice the virtue of purity, practice the virtue of modesty. In our own school, our St. Agnes is one of the patron saints of purity among youth, so we have a perfect model there. We have Maria Goretti, Dominic Savio, many others. So I think that the emphasis must be on moral formation. You deal with questions when they come up, and you deal with them prudently, but the focus must be on cultivating moral virtues and inculcating good moral habits. That's where the emphasis has to be, I think.
Thank you, Fred. And Joan is a volunteer coordinator for a new program, well, not new, but it's a program in the Archdiocese called All in God's Plan. Joan, how does that differ from the sex education programs in the schools?
I think the biggest difference is that it's not a curriculum, it's a tool, and it's a tool for parents. it gives parents the right and the privilege of educating their kids in this area of sexuality. The program is actually in three parts. The first one is for kids who are ages 9 to 12, who are just entering puberty. And there are just wonderful talks by speakers on what are the physical and emotional changes that are going on and are going to happen, and how do you prepare for those. And all in the sense of this is in God's plan. There's a reason why God created us, men and women, and that's why these changes are going to occur in our bodies. The blessing there is that the mothers are with their daughters, the fathers are with their sons, hearing the same information. And so they also have a catalyst for great discussion and for opening up those lines of communication so that that the children and the parents know that this is the place in our home is where we can talk about all these sensitive issues. The second component is for more for high school age students, ages 13 to 16, and it goes a little bit more in depth into what is out there in the secular world and how can we combat that, both from the parent's standpoint and from the teens. What should they watch out for? The big difference from the curriculums to the All in God's Plan program is that nowhere do we talk about the intimate aspects of married love from the young children, even into the high school age, though some understanding of that is assumed in the high school program, the second component, because there is discussion of the safe sex myth and some of the stuff that's being fed to our children through the media. The third program is for high school seniors, and it's offered, hosted at St. Agnes, and it's offered as an enlightenment to what's out there for you next. You're leaving your home. What are some vocation choices? An introduction to natural family planning. And this is all through the Office of Marriage and Family Life through the Archdiocese. And it's just really a beautiful program. Personally, it's been a real blessing for me.
Sounds wonderful. Well, thank you. And we'll have more about that on our website. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today. The message is clear. Parents need to be vigilant about the sex education curriculum their children are exposed to. Parents, don't be misled into thinking you must talk to your children about sex in any detailed and explicit way. Listen to your heart and your God-given instinct to protect your child's innocence. We'd love to hear from you. If you have comments, questions, or even suggestions for future shows, please contact us. Thanks for watching, and God bless you and yours. Ave Maria.